Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, the Eau Claire County District Attorney releases his opinion on a review of an officer-involved critical incident that occurred sometime back in Eau Claire. Meanwhile, results are in on an investigation of former Eau Claire County Sheriff Ron Kramer taking his own life. A crowded Wisconsin Supreme Court race just got more crowded. Terry Weld announces he will not seek re-election as Eau Claire City Council President, and the YMCA of the Chippewa Valley to provide free child care opportunities with a family membership. That's ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. First off, yesterday afternoon, Eau Claire County District Attorney Peter Rindle released the opinion of his review of the officer-involved critical incident involving two Eau Claire police officers, which occurred on September 4th of this year. In his written opinion, District Attorney Rindle stated officers Sperry and Johnson's use of deadly force was justified. The officer-involved critical incident occurred at a residence in the 1900 block of Declaration Drive in the city of Eau Claire. Officers responded to the location after the Eau Claire Communication Center received an emergency call of a disturbance. Officers were provided information that a male was at the residence and armed with a firearm. Further information advised man was pointing a firearm at neighboring homes. When officers Sam Sperry and Trey Johnson arrived, they contacted the armed male and identified themselves as police officers. The male, later identified as Clayton Livingston, adopted a shooting stance and aimed a handgun at the officers. Officers Sperry and Johnson discharged their firearms, striking Livingston. Officers administered life-saving measures to Livingston. Livingston was taken to a hospital. District Attorney Rindle writing, quote, "The Eau Claire County District Attorney's Office concludes the use of deadly force by Eau Claire Police Officer Sam Sperry and Trey Johnson was justified as reasonable acts of self-defense and defense of others," unquote. The Wisconsin Department of Justice investigation determined Livingston's blood alcohol concentration was 0.216 at the time of the incident. Again, the report says Officers Sperry and Johnson took necessary action to protect members of the community. When doing so, it says they put themselves in harm's way. Officers Sperry and Johnson will now return to their normal duty assignments. Also this week, Eau Claire County law enforcement officials announced the results of an investigation into the unexpected death of longtime Eau Claire County Sheriff Ron Kramer on September 13th of this year. Eau Claire Police Chief Matt Rokas saying at the press conference Wednesday morning that the cause of Kramer's death was suicide.
Suicide is hard to talk about. It's difficult. In this situation, we have a prominent public figure.
Acting Eau Claire County Sheriff Corey Shalinsky said that on September 13th at 1:56 in the afternoon, the Eau Claire County Sheriff's Office received a 911 call from two Eau Claire County employees who found the body of a man in the town of Seymour in the woods near the Eau Claire River about 6 miles east of the city of Eau Claire. A gun was also at the scene. The witnesses and responding law enforcement recognized the man as Ron Kramer. Sheriff's Office turned the investigation over to the Eau Claire Police Department. Democratic State Representative Jody Emerson had this reaction.
I am deeply saddened to hear of the results of the death investigation of Sheriff Kramer. As Chief Rokas stated, suicide is hard to talk about, and tragedies such as this highlight the importance of supporting those in our communities with access to mental health treatment. First responders experience trauma throughout their careers and are burdened with putting the well-being of others before themselves. In order to help combat this, I worked with Governor Evers to sign into law critical legislation that ensures first responders are able to receive proper mental health treatment through workers' compensation.
Emerson says,
it is essential we continue to spread the word on new programs like this and the 988 number that could help save someone's life and destigmatize mental health crises.
Finally, Emerson says,
my thoughts continue to be with the family and co-workers of Sheriff Kramer during this difficult time. Ron dedicated his career to serving others and was an integral member of our community, and he will be deeply missed.
And then there are four candidates now running for state Supreme Court for the seat being vacated by the retiring Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Pat Rogensack. The latest is Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro, who you may recall recently presided over the very high-profile Waukesha Christmas Parade trial where Darryl Brooks Jr. represented himself, where he was accused of driving an SUV into a crowd at a Christmas parade a year ago in November, killing 6 and injuring 60. Here was Doro earlier this week.
So today, I am excited to officially announce my candidacy for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
And the Doro campaign presenting a number of people speaking on her behalf, including Sue Opper, the Waukesha County District Attorney.
She always put public safety as her first concern and always treated the numerous law enforcement officers that we deal with on a daily basis with the highest level of respect as they deserved.
Doro says she's not a Johnny-come-lately judicial conservative.
Look at my work and how I've presented myself. And I have been a judicial conservative for my entire career. This is not something that I just drummed up because I wanted to run for office.
Doro was asked if she'd be a swing justice like current state Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn.
We must replace Justice Rogensack with a judicial conservative who will fairly and faithfully apply the law as written to the cases, to the facts of the cases that come before the court.
Now, Doro joins three other candidates already in the nonpartisan race for the open seat on the court, including fellow conservative former state Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly, who's been garnering as many endorsements as he can, including from at least one member of the current court, but also numerous sheriffs around the state, and two liberal candidates, Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz and Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, who issued a statement upon Doro's announcement that she's running. As he said, quote, "Since our announcement in June, we've made stops up and down this state, speaking with voters on all sides of the political spectrum who are concerned about the direction of our state and who want a better future for all Wisconsinites." Mitchell goes on, and Judge Doro's entrance into the race with her, what he calls, extreme conservative views, highlights exactly why the stakes are so high. Mitchell says, "It's more clear than ever to me that justice isn't what you say, it's what you do." He continues, "Judges like Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro will use their predetermined conservative political beliefs to make judgments, not justice. That's not what Wisconsinites deserve." So WISN-TV in Milwaukee asked the four candidates for the state Supreme Court and a 10-year term on that high court, which currently has a 4-3 conservative majority, just what it is that separates them from the others. First, Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz.
"This is what I want the voters to know. You want common sense. You want somebody who follows the law. You want somebody who's going to protect you. And that's what I'm going to do."
Former state Supreme Court Judge Daniel Kelly, who bills himself as a conservative, as does Doro.
"I'm the only one who has been there, who has demonstrated what it means to be a constitutionalist judge, to be faithful to the constitutional commands, to uphold the rule of law."
Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell.
"Justice is not what you say, it's what you do. And my commitment to justice has been about working with men and women in our community to protect our community by bringing people together. A judge need not be separate from the community. You can be involved in the community."
And finally, what does Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro say that separates her from those she's running against?
"I've been put to the test as a trial judge in a way that separates me from others. And I have the experience to hit the ground running on the state's highest court."
Milwaukee's WISN-TV also asked UW La Crosse political analyst Anthony Trzaski his take on all of this.
"This campaign just got a whole heck of a lot more interesting."
Trzaski says,
"We could have a primary election where two liberal justices emerge as the top two. We could have a primary election where two conservative justices emerge as the top two."
Finally, WISN-TV's Kent Wainscott asks Trzaski,
"How do you anticipate this playing out?"
"It's a recipe for chaos. We are experiencing a campaign that just got injected with a lot of unpredictability."
So while most of us are glad that the election season just ended and wiping the sweat off our brow and glad we don't have to see a lot of ads, get ready for some in the judicial category as there'll be a mid-February primary followed by a early April general election. Whichever candidates poll best in that primary, the top two advance on to that April general election for that 10-year term in the state Supreme Court as Justice Pat Rogensack, part of that 4-3 conservative majority, leaving the state's high court. Meanwhile, also this week, City Council President Terry Weld announced that he will not seek re-election as City Council President when his term expires in the spring of 2023. In addition to serving on the council, Weld's a real estate agent and a former business owner who served on the Plan Commission for 6 years, as an at-large council member for 2 years, and City Council President for the past 4 years.
"Eau Claire has been my home for most of my life, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to have served the 70,000 residents of our city these past 12 years. It is because of their voices, passion, and drive that we've become this amazing city where we live, work, and play."
Weld says,
"I'd also like to express my sincere appreciation for the many dedicated and talented individuals I've met and worked with, including past and present city council members, our incredible city staff, former city manager Dale Peters, interim city manager Dave Solberg, and current city manager Stephanie Hirsch. Each of them, all of those people, have selflessly given their hearts, minds, and souls to our city.
For now, Terry Wilde will continue in his role as council president until mid-April and then plans to continue working and enjoying extra time with family and friends.
Public service and municipal governing touches every emotion that exists. It tires and tests you, energizes and rewards you, educates and strengthens you, and in the end, leaves you with a great sense of accomplishment and pride. I will miss it greatly and encourage everyone to seek and experience the role of serving others in whatever capacity possible.
As for his successor, Emily Berge announced on the same day that Weld announced he would not be seeking re-election to president of Eau Claire City Council that she will be running for the city council presidency. Berge was elected as the District 1 representative to the council in 2018 and re-elected in 2021. She was chosen by her council peers as council vice president earlier this year. She says she's proud of the work the council's done over the last 5 years, noting that they've made strides in affordable and accessible housing, continued to take steps toward sustainability goals, and helped put Eau Claire on the map where people want to live, work, and visit. Plus, Berge says the last few years, they've managed a worldwide pandemic at the local level. She says over the last 5 years, her love for Eau Claire has continued to grow, as well as her passion for civic policy and engagement. Berge says she's a problem solver, and she says she listens to understand what's going on and then work with the people to find solutions. She says as city council president, she would continue to lead with dedication and cooperation. Outgoing President Terry Wilde says,
today, Vice President Emily Berge announced her candidacy for city council president. And I strongly encourage our community to support Emily Berge and her efforts to lead our city council. She has worked tirelessly serving her district and the city of Eau Claire these past 5 years. She is trusted, experienced, and compassionate about our city and our residents, and I'm certain will continue to be a positive, respectful, and productive leader as our great city moves forward.
Eau Claire City Council President Terry Wilde. And finally, the YMCA of the Chippewa Valley is expanding their family offerings beginning in January. Soon, those who have YMCA family memberships will be able to enroll in monthly Parents Night Out events and use child watch services free of charge. Monthly Parents Night Out events will take place in both Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire. Parents Night Out is a three-hour event at the YMCA where parents can drop off their children for dinner, care, and fun while mom and dad enjoy a kid-free evening away from the YMCA. Dinner will be provided for the children, and the children must be potty trained to attend. The Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire YMCAs will host the events on the second Friday of each month. Now, Child Watch is a drop-in style child care service that parents can use for up to 2 hours while they remain on site at the YMCA facility. Children as young as 6 weeks old can be placed in care. Trained YMCA staff will care for and play with the kids while parents enjoy some time at the YMCA. Derek White is the YMCA of the Chippewa Valley Chief Executive Officer.
We are excited to build value in our family memberships where parents can take advantage of quality child care while they invest in their own personal health.
White says,
the YMCA of the Chippewa Valley has the resources and expertise to use education and fun experiences for children of the Chippewa Valley.
White says they saw a need in the Chippewa Valley for quality care to be accessible to those who are not in full-time child care. He says it's important for parents to be able to spend time together or have time for themselves if that's what they need. White notes the YMCA of the Chippewa Valley offers membership for all assistance, which provides assistance to those who cannot afford a YMCA membership to still access the YMCA and its programs.
At the Y, we work hard every day to ensure that everyone, regardless of age, income, or background, has the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive.
White says,
the YMCA provides support to families and individuals to promote positive experience and opportunities through our annual campaign.
Finally, White says,
when you give to the YMCA, you are providing opportunities for our neighbors to have access to the YMCA, its programs, and its calls.
Derek White took over the role of Chief Executive Officer of the YMCA of the Chippewa Valley in October of this year. He says the YMCA members will continue to see investment in their YMCAs over the next few months. He says he's committed to adding value to the YMCA membership and investing back into our facilities so our YMCAs can continue to serve our communities. White says he encourages everyone, YMCA members and non-members, to stay connected with the YMCA, stop in for a tour, or connect with them on Facebook or their website to stay up to date with the exciting changes taking place at the YMCA over the next few months. That does it for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson.